Today's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This has been the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I'll never forget the day that Robert asked to see me. It was a while back. I was a chaplain. We had been back from Desert Storm for a couple of months. And he had come back and had not been able to re-establish his job that he lost somehow in the time that we were deployed. He came back to a wife that was independent. She had a pretty good job, and he was having a fairly hard time. He said he had made a couple of mistakes with the kids after being gone for a while. He tried to discipline them a couple of times and probably went overboard a little bit, and he's apologized, and he says things are just not going very well for me right now, and I thought that it might be good if I could just talk. It might be helpful to talk to you a little while. And so we talked, and he began to tell me some of his concerns of, you know, doing some of the things that he detested, really, from his own father when he was growing up. He said that his dad, who was also a military man, had actually hit him with a 2x4, had hit him with extension cords, had hit him with his fist. He said, "One day, I remember I got my dad's potted meat. I didn't realize that it was his, but it was his. And when he came in and saw that I got it, he grabbed me by the throat, threw me up against the wall, and said, 'You ever touch my food again, I'll break your neck like that.'" It was tough. But it seemed like it was only tough on him. He noticed that his brother and his sister, when they turned 16, their dad found a way to get them a vehicle to drive, but not for him when he was 16. It was so bad that he left home in the 10th grade and joined the army as soon as he was old enough to do that. And he was telling me that his dad died like 2 weeks before we were deployed. He said he wanted a military funeral, but we couldn't find any Class A's for him. So I took my Class A uniform, and that's what Dad was buried in. He said, "You know, he went back to my brother, my sister, and he apologized to them for some of the things that he did when they were growing up. But he never apologized to me for anything." He said he went to my wife, he went to my kids, his grandkids, and he told them that he loved them. But he never told me that he loved me. I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 31. I said, "How many times did you hear your dad say, 'I love you,' throughout the course of those 31 years? He said, "Not once, never." As I listened to Robert, I got to thinking, you know, not everybody is blessed, are they? Not everybody is blessed. You know, in Scripture, the primary responsibility of parents is to bless their children. You see it dramatically, sometimes in stories like Isaac blessing Esau or Jacob. You see it sometimes in Jesus' own parables that he told. I love the parable of the prodigal son. One of the things that really grabs me when I think about that was the elder son coming to his father when he was throwing the party for the younger son who came home, you know. And they were celebrating the fact that once he was dead, now he is alive. Once he was lost, now he is found. But his elder brother wouldn't go in to that party. And his father came out to him. And do you remember what he said to him? He said, "All these many years I have served you, I have never once disobeyed your command. And yet you never gave me so much as a goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes home who devoured your living with harlots, you kill for him the fatted calf." Jesus is aware, isn't he, that there's something powerful about approval. There's something powerful about love. In fact, what we pass on as parents to our children may be the most powerful love in this world. It's little wonder that we call it blessing, because I have been with many that if they did not receive that blessing, I find them just misfiring, dysfunctioning, making bad choices, seeking something for the rest of their life that they never really seem to find. And there are those that just seem to be completely free. They have been launched into life, able to love, able to think about what it is that they need to do right now, and they can focus on doing that, and it just goes from that to their own children, and they pass it on. I realized as I was listening to Robert that I didn't have any of that kind of experience. My mom and dad hugged and kissed me every day of my life. Their love was unconditional. It wasn't because of what I did. It was because of who I was. I was their son. Now, I didn't always interpret that right. Sometimes I thought that they loved me because I was doing something that they could approve of. So I would try to win the race, or I would try to make the touchdown, or I would try to, you know, perform the song in church, or I would do whatever it was, wondering if mom and dad were proud of me now. And, you know, I misinterpreted some of that. Sometimes I thought that they loved me because of, instead of just by the fact that I was their son. But that becomes infinitely clear as you become an adult and look back on that, doesn't it? But not everybody gets that. That's why it's so important for us as the church to be aware of that hunger that is out there. That there is a need in everyone's life for love. And there is a need in everyone's life for that blessing. If they don't get it from some of the natural sources that should have been doing that all of their life, then God has a desire for you and me, those of us who have been blessed, to find a way to go and to bless all of those. That's one of the reasons that I think this passage of Scripture is so important. I remember one time after I had preached on this, I was talking to another minister named Dan Kilgore. I was doing a revival in Mignon at his church. And he was telling me about someone who had shared the three things that all children want to hear most from their parents. And it's right here in this passage. And if your kids don't receive anything else from you, these three things are the things you need to be aware that they want from you most. First, they want to know that they belong. They want to hear you say with your life, you belong to me. You have a place in this world. Don't assume that everybody feels that way. You belong. The second thing that we all want to hear from our parents is, I love you. There's a lot of different kinds of love languages, but to be sure, they need to just hear those words from us. And the last thing is that I am proud of you. I am so pleased that you are my son. I am so pleased that you are my daughter. And it's little wonder to me that when Jesus was about the age of Robert, actually, around 30 years old, believing that God had this special call on his life, that he may be the one in this world that's going to bring God's message that God wants to give to this world more through him than in any other means possible. And he's about to be launched out into this ministry. And what is it that he needs most in order to be launched? It seems that God felt what he needed most was to hear those three things. You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist was baptizing with a baptism of repentance, because all of the ways that the world had tried to have a good relationship with God up to that point had been to have a righteous life. God had given us a law. He had given us a way to live before him in such a way that he could say, I am pleased with you. But what we realized is that we haven't lived a life where God can honestly say that to us. So John had a baptism of repentance so that you could confess your sin and you could repent and you could still have a right relationship with God by confessing your sins and repenting and turning 180 degrees in your life and going in the direction now that God wants you to go. But even then, we need something more. Jesus was baptized with that baptism of repentance in order to identify, as Jesus always did, with this world and with you and I. Even as he was when he identified by hanging on a cross with the sin that you and I bear before God. In order to take it to another step where we begin with God saying, you are my child, I love you, and I am so pleased to have you as my child. Not because you have lived the life that I wanted you to live, but because of who you are. You are mine. I love you. I am pleased that you are mine. And to be freed to go into this world with that kind of acceptance and with a new kind of power to pass that on. I love something that I ran across years ago. It was a little writing by Wes Seeliger. And he just came out and said, have you ever felt like a frog? Said, you don't know how a frog feels? Well, a frog feels slow and low and ugly and puffy and pooped and drooped. The frog feeling comes when you want to be bright, but you feel dull. When you want to share, but you're just too selfish. When you want to be big, but are small. And when you want to care, but are just too indifferent. He said, yes, every one of us at one time or another has found ourselves on the lily flag, a lily pad, floating down that great river of life, frightened, disgusted, but just too froggish to budge. Now, there's a fairy tale about a frog. Actually, it wasn't a frog, but it was a prince who looked and felt like a frog. Wicked witch had cast a spell on him, and only the kiss of a beautiful maiden could save him. But since when do cute chicks kiss frogs? So there he sat, unkissed prince in frog form. But miracles happen. One day, a beautiful young maiden grabbed him up and gave him a great big smack, and zap, boom, crash, handsome prince. And you know the rest of the story. They lived happily ever after. And then Wes Seeliger, this Episcopal priest in Houston, Texas, asked a question. He said, so what is the purpose of the church? Why? To kiss frogs, of course. You and I have the power to do that. That's what God did with every one of us. From a cross where he was suffering and dying. And on that cross, he kissed us. And said, will you pass it on?